Good evening, everyone. First, I'd like to call to order today's meeting on July 1st from the DRB. Let's begin with roll call.
Randall Brand.
Present.
Amanda Britlo.
Present.
Carly Costanova.
Present.
Shoshana Cohen. Supriya Kilkar. Tyler Smith.
Present.
And Amy Jersey. Thanks.
Tonight's agenda is going to be discussing the structure on 177 Central Way, designed by the Bayless Architects. Should we start with the administration presentation? Oh. My apologies, my first time. First, let's start off with any comments from the audience. Let's make sure that we have that limited to 3 minutes.
Comments from the audience should be not related to this, but
they should not be.
Hi there. My name is Gail Brilling. I'm a neighbor, and thanks so much for the design review. Can't hear it. Anyway, thank you so much. I look forward to what's going to be happening with this.
There are any additional comments from the audience?
My name is Lisa Berenson, and I'm a lead AP, and I've been in the architectural industry for over 20 years. My main concern about this building is the impact on height and open sky and its relative shape and undulation associated with the nearby buildings.
Actually, at this point, it would the public comment at this point of the meeting would pertain to anything other than what's on the agenda later. So we will have a portion for public comment on the actual project at the right time when Tyler, the chair, will call for comments at that point. So I think at this point, it's really just announcing the agenda and then then we would start with staff's presentation.
Picture and everything that we need. Anyways, thank you. Apologies for the misguidance there. And please be patient with me again, first time. So again, today's meeting is going to be going over the 177 Central Way mixed-use project, determining how the design guidelines affect or pertain to the proposed development, determine which guidelines are applied to the proposed development, and determine what other application materials are needed for the design's response and conference. Shall we go into presentation?
All right, thank you. Tony Levitt, representing the planning department. Okay, great. Go back one slide here. So yes, we are here to discuss the 177 Central Way, and this is the conceptual design conference for that application. The property is zoned CBD1 and currently contains the single-story U.S. Bank building. The property has street frontage along Central Way, An unimproved alley exists to the west of the subject property, part of the Lake and Central parking lot, and an improved alley to the south of the subject property. The applicant is proposing to construct a four-story mixed-use building with approximately 4,000 square feet of ground floor commercial area and 25 to 30 residential units. Basically, again, the ground floor is commercial and also contains a lobby for the structure. And then the top three levels would be the residential portion. Parking is proposed within an at-grade and below-grade structured parking lot. And vehicular access to the property is proposed from Central Way and via an alley to the west of the property. I'm going to go over some of the key zoning regulations that pertain to the subject property. Permitted uses in the zone include, but are not limited to, retail, restaurant, banking, financial services, office, and stacked units. Office and residential uses may be located on the ground floor of a structure unless there is a minimum unless there is a minimum 30 feet in depth intervening retail use. Lobbies for residential uses may be allowed subject to design guidelines and the DRB approval. The applicant is proposing a ground floor lobby. The DRB will need to review that as part of the design response conference. The required ground floor uses are required to have a minimum 20 foot depth and an average depth of at least 30 feet. The DRB may approve a minor reduction in the depth requirements if the applicant demonstrates that the requirement is not feasible given the configuration of the proposed improvements and the design of the retail frontage will maximize visual interest. The applicant is proposing as part of their package a minor reduction in the depth requirements from 30 feet to 25 feet. The applicant states that the reason for the reduction is that the depth of the parcel is 90 feet, but due to the public benefit easements along Central Way and South Alley, the effective depth is 83 feet. The development is challenged to provide publicly accessible parking and robust retail within the effective depth of the parcel. The DRP should provide input on the proposed reduction and outline the submittal requirements that they'll want to see for the design response conference. As far as height is concerned, the maximum height for the site is 45 feet above the abutting right-of-way. In this case, the abutting right-of-way is Central Way. The zoning code states that no portion of a building within 30 feet of Central Way may exceed a height of 41 feet above Central Way. So there's a requirement for upper story setbacks that basically that requires. The minimum ground floor height is 15 feet. Sorry, there's a typo on there. It's 15 feet. Decorative parapets may exceed the height limit by a maximum of 4 feet, provided the average perimeter is 2 feet. Some of the additional height exceptions are rooftop appurtenances, and related screenings shall not exceed the maximum height. And those need to be incorporated in below the height limit. The code does allow for a modification for elevators and associated equipment and or stair enclosure. Additionally, rooftop amenities or rooftop common rooms that exceed the maximum height limits can be approved pursuant to the standards and modification process outlined in the zoning code. Both of these modifications will need to be decided on as part of the design review process. Some other additional zoning requirements are, I did mention the upper story setbacks. So for structures along Central Way, again, the required upper story setback is 30 feet for any portion of the structure that exceeds 41 feet. The applicant's preferred massing option includes an awning above the fourth story that extends 5 feet into the required setback. The zoning code allows a minor variation of the required upper story setback as part of the design review process. The code states that the DRB may grant a modification only if it finds that the following are met. The request results in superior design and fulfills the policy basis for the applicable design regulation and design guideline, and the departure will not have a substantial detrimental effect on nearby properties in the city or the neighborhood. So as part of the design response conference application, the applicant will need to provide detailed plans showing the proposed awning and provide a response to the minor variation criteria. Additionally, Central Way is designated as a pedestrian oriented street. The required sidewalk along Central Way shall be a minimum width of 12 feet with an average width of 13 feet. The sidewalk configuration will need to be approved as part of the design review board approval. The initial design of the sidewalk when working with Public Works Department calls for a pedestrian sidewalk easement for a portion of the sidewalk. The code allows a building to extend over that over the sidewalk to be cantilevered, but it must be consistent with the following guidelines. The total length of the cantilever portion should not be more than one third of the entire length of the building facade. The cantilever portions of the building should be spread out and not consolidated in a single area on the facade. Unobstructed pedestrian flow should be maintained through the subject property adjoining sidewalks. Space under the building cantilevers should appear and function as part of the public realm. And finally, the sense of enclosure is minimized. So as part of the design response conference, we will look at the final sidewalk configuration, and that will need to be obviously reviewed by the Public Works Department and as approved as part of the design response decision. And additionally, the applicant will need to show compliance with those requirements. In addition, so now we go into the design guidelines for the downtown Kirkland. So in addition to the standard design guidelines for pedestrian-oriented business districts, there's a list that was included as attachment 4 of the staff report that highlights some of the key guidelines and special considerations that apply specifically to the project or project area. First is that they want wider sidewalks throughout the downtown, whether existing or new. Additionally, we want the pedestrian or the storefronts along these pedestrian routes to be transparent and friendly to pedestrians. We want to limit the amount of residential lobbies to the minimum necessary. We want to also, as part of the design guidelines, look at the fenestration patterns on the upper stories and want to tie those into the neighboring properties and look at some traditional smaller fenestration to occur. Upper story setbacks, we want landscaping and activity in those areas limited to what the zoning code allows. As far as on these around the sites, we want to look at public open spaces, opportunities for public areas near and around the building. And finally, we want to look at providing some building details and look at the materials that are being presented to make sure those fit in with the neighborhood. As far as tonight, we want to look at too is the context or setting in which the proposed development will be located. That's important to determine the appropriate design regulations that apply. The following are several key questions that are geared towards identifying the physical environment around and on the subject properties. These questions will help to supplement the discussions on the key design guidelines appropriate for the project. First, we want to look at how does the site relate to its surroundings. The applicant and DRB should discuss the physical and built environments on and around the subject property. Topics include height of neighboring structures, topography, and landscaping. Secondly, we'll look at what are the opportunities and constraints of the site and the vicinity given the following topics. We'll look at the streetscape, what's going on around the subject property, what are some of the urban forms that are taking place there, what are some of the activities and uses surrounding the subject property. We're going to look at the pedestrian patterns and environments in the area. What are some of the character? What's the character of adjacent buildings? And finally, we want to look at the landscaping and open space options. The role of the DRB at the Conceptual Design Conference is to help, again, to determine how the design guidelines found in the pedestrian-oriented design guidelines apply to the proposed development. The following sections and questions below are representative of the city's design guidelines. These questions are to be used as a tool to help identify how design guidelines would apply to the project. Again, what are some of the key advantages of the project? identify appropriate mitigation techniques for building massing of the proposed buildings. Possible techniques include vertical and horizontal modulation, corner treatment, and roof forms. How does the proposed massing and location of structure relate or respond to the pedestrian environment? What are opportunities for pedestrian-oriented space at the street level, i.e. plazas, outdoor dining, those kind of things? What are some of the key pedestrian connections? How would the project engage pedestrians? What are opportunities for landscaping and open space on the subject property? We want you to provide feedback on the proposed minor reductions as well. The minor reductions are the ground floor depth and the upper story setback reduction to allow the proposed awning. The DRB should at the end outline the submittal requirements, including plans and analysis the board would like to see as part of the design response application. So again tonight, the goals for this meeting are for you to review the projects, review the applicant's massing options, and provide guidance on those massing options. How and what design guidelines affect or pertain to the proposed development, determine which guidelines apply, and finally, determine what application materials are needed for the design response conference. And I have provided just a list. This is just a general list of the things that we normally require with the design response conference. So just some guidance on that. So that does it my presentation. Are there any questions?
Should we start with any questions from the board?
Yeah, I got a question.
Sure.
Thank you for the presentation. Does the city have any plans with the adjacent municipal parking lot? Are there any future improvements envisioned for that?
Not at this time. I mean, obviously, this project would impact some of the surface parking stalls that are located. So if you looked at, unfortunately, I can't pull up our GIS browser right now. But if you looked at the subject property, actually, if I go back, I'll go back here a little bit. So on the west side, again, you can kind of see it in the site plan here. There's some parking stalls that are located within that unopened alley. Other than that, there are no plans for the parking lot other than the parking stalls, things. That's it.
And this overlap of the parking stalls, is that going to result in a reducement of parking?
That's something that's still to be determined. The applicant may be able to speak a little bit. I know they've been talking to the public works. Some of the design changes might, and also potential parking arrangements, things like that. At this time, those are some things that are still kind of being worked out.
Thank you.
Do we have any additional questions, Amanda?
I have one question following up from Carlos's question. Is there going to be any public parking in this building or only residential and guest parking?
Well, there would be obviously parking for the parking includes for commercial, for residential guests. I don't know the final plans as far as the for replacement, if any of the existing parking stalls there. I know there was some discussion about that, and again, maybe the applicant can provide a little bit more background on that because they've been talking closer to the public works department on that issue.
Randall?
I guess I'm still going to go after the parking a little bit. As far as maybe the applicant can answer this, Tony, instead of, but the number of stalls of parking on this, are they the minimum required, or where are we at in that number?
As of right now, there's no indication of any kind of parking modification. They're planning to meet the zoning code requirements.
Just meet the minimum requirement. Okay. The existing bank is about 3,700 square feet. they're talking about 4,000 square feet of kind of replacement retail in it. Is there anywhere in the code where we say anything about this first floor as to the amount of square footage of retail in these types of projects and that type of thing? Because it seems like we're giving away a lot to parking and we're right in the downtown business core. There just isn't any space there.
Yeah, other than the zoning code just specifies the minimum depth requirements for retail, but there's no specific square footage, you know, on the ground floor requirement or anything like that.
Yeah. I didn't take time to take a look at that. I was looking at some other things, but no, that answered my questions. Will go to the applicant.
Okay.
Right.
We have one question really quickly, again, in regards to the parking and zoning. Do we know what the current amount of parking availability is in that facility, that zoning area?
As far as the existing?
Yes.
No, I could probably figure that out. Are you looking at like how much is being removed than what they're
replacing? And what they would be replacing that with, how much parking would be added on? Do we have an idea?
Yeah, so the parking is going to be based obviously on the uses that they're proposing. So we don't know that mix at this time. That's something that would obviously be proposed as part of the design response conference. They'll designate the specific uses and provide the parking based on those uses, the unit numbers as far as when, you know, whether studio or up to three bedroom, how that parking rate.
Okay, just to clarify before the applicant explains it, this is supposed to be mixed use with retail and residential, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
And so there is going to be discussion of how they're able to construct that parking for residential and for retail, or is it just strictly residential?
No, I think the plan right now is basically the level behind, so the first level, the ground level, would be for the retail and guests. And then below that would be for the residential, the green. So
that's all the questions that I have. Let's go into the applicant's presentation.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm Nick Toski. I'm a principal with the Coeur d'Alene Group, which is the developer for the project. And I'll be brief. I'm going to introduce our company and then introduce our lead consultant for the project. Before I do that, I can speak directly to the parking. I think that's more our purview than on the architect side. So in regards to the public parking spots that would be removed by opening the alley, the way it reconfigures, we would actually provide one additional spot than what's currently there. And then the parking in the building, as the building is presented currently, the parking, there's a separate parking spot for public, which is about 30 spots roughly, give or take one or two, depending on how the building shakes out. And then the residential parking is down below. It's about 44 spots right now. And we do plan on parking the building above the code requirement, just so you guys are aware. So the Coeur d'Alene Group, I'm principal with the Coeur d'Alene Group. We are a Kirkland-based land development company. We started 4 years ago, but the principal group has been working in Kirkland for about 10 years now. We have 15 ongoing projects right now, and 12 of them are actually in city of Kirkland limits. So very much a local developer. And then our lead consultant on the project is Bayless Architects. They've done quite a bit of work in Kirkland and on the east side, so we're excited to have them on this project. Meredith Everest and Juan Garcini are here tonight, and they'll do the lion's share of the presentation, and then I'm here to answer questions as well when they're done. So I'm going to turn it over to Juan right now.
Good evening, and first, Thank you very much for the opportunity of presenting this project and taking the time to be here and everybody. Thank you very much. And my name is Juan Garcini. I'm with Bayes Architects, and we are happy to present this project. And as Nick mentioned, this project is mixed use. We are pretending to have approximately 26 units, residential units. And we have separated parking for residents, about 44 parking. And for commercial public is 30. And in matter of fact, the 4,000 square feet retail requires plus minus 12, 13 parking stalls. So that means 18 parking that we are adding more, pretty much giving to the public. So we are giving more than what really need for the retail. So just kind of conclude the question, the original question. So, and let me see. So as Donny mentioned, the site is located in Central Way. We have Central Way on the north. We have alleys on the south and the west. And I'm not going to spend too much time on this one. We already talked about that. And we have well, this is the existing condition. So and what we are proposing is having entry for the residential parking on the Central Way. We have the commercial or non-residential parking access through the alley. And that is connecting with the existing parking that is on the west side. So that is kind of connectivity in both parkings. Again, we have 4,000 square feet of retail. We have in the center, kind of the center, the residential lobby. And let me, the next one. Part of the code that Tony mentioned is that we, the maximum building height is 45 feet, which is what we're providing. There is three stories of the residential and one story of the retail and one underground story for the parking. We are setting back, as the code requires, is at the maximum 45 feet, 41 feet on the Central Way. We are moving 30 feet back as required, and we have a rooftop community room that is also allowed as a part of the extension on the maximum building height. And we are presenting three options. Option A is an option where we are proposing. I'm going to go back and forth. So in this option A, we are proposing to have the residential lobby entry on the pretty much almost on the corner on the west side. And we still having all the options are having the same parking entry. So that is no difference in any option. The basic changes in the options is the residential entry or the lobby location. This one has on the west side, we have the number of units and everything is the same. And we can see in the option, option A is that we are giving separation, the residential lobby or residential entry and the entry of the cars are separated. So what we are doing on this option is kind of separate two entries, but also at the same time, we have breaking a little bit of the retail. So it's a little bit more spread out. And in this one, we have a little bit of modulation on the facade, verticality on the residential, you know, kind of storefront, something that is mentioned on the design guidelines. And what is the, that's what I would say that is the pros on the project. Now the cons is that the retail is pretty much breaking in pieces, so it's not really the best solution, but it has the benefit that the entry of the residential and the cars are kind of separated. So pros and cons on this option. When we move to the option B is that we have the entry residential next to the driveway, so they are both side by side. and we have the non-residential split in two. We have two stairwells, and one of them it requires a mean of egress, which is going to the west alley, and it's kind of taking some space for the retail. And on the exterior, we can see the verticality, the volumes that we are breaking in the massing, and again, we have kind of verticality and horizontal combination. When we move to the option C, which is the one that we prefer, this one we have the more continuous residential, non-residential corner, almost the 4,000 feet in the west northwest corner. So that is more facing to the corner to the lake view. So that is kind of inviting. And the other thing is we are providing a plaza. So that is helping to have interrelationship between the residents and the retail and the pedestrian. So it's an interrelationship for the community. It's a small plaza, but at least it's giving some kind of invitation to the building. And also the verticality of this facade is going to help to enhance the entry of the building and also giving some more character. And parking and everything in the back is kind of the same thing. Let me go back. So something that is different from this to the other options is the combination between horizontal and verticality. This one, we are enhancing the horizontality so that way the building doesn't look high, but at the same time, we are enhancing with the plaza and the retail lobby that the verticality and saying, okay, this is the main entry and we have a plaza where we can, you know, enhance the entry for this building. Also, the other thing, if we can look the northwest view, and this is amazing, but in the reality, we are going to have that corner with storefront, so the retail it will be also inviting, and it's going to enhance the retail or the commercial to continue and give more enhanced, give more personality at the same time. And something that is important to mention is that the building is an arrow property, and we try to accommodate as much parking stall as possible. And we are, that's something that we would like to highlight is that the residence has a separate entry to the parking. The parking is totally underground. There is no access from any public. It's private, it's secure. And the commercial is open, connected to the west side, and it's entirely for the commercial, and there is no interrelationship or connection, residents and the commercial or public. So that is something that we would like to highlight it. And we, with the narrow property, we try to get as much parking. So as we mentioned, we have plus minus 30 parking stalls, trying to give more, but that is also affecting the width of the depth of the commercial. The minimum is 20, the average should be 30 feet depth. And we have average about 29, and that is because the parking, we have a double side parking, and obviously we are kind of giving more importance to the parking than the retail. But that is something that in kind of the departures we would like to request. And that kind of department for the commercial. Now we are talking about 4,000 square feet, so it's not really a big area. The other thing is we are giving this plaza, and we understand that when we are giving this plaza, we can kind of compensate on the upper floor, so we can increase a little bit the area on the. So the setback of the 30 feet, we can recover 5 feet for the unit. So and it's something to consider. Okay. And also as a part of the to allow to have some kind of canopies, so that gives more personality to the building as well. Now, and I would like to mention about the design guidelines. I think that at the end, that is something the most important thing in the project is that we have in mind to have the base of the building having more solid materials. So that kind of enhance the base of the building. And in upper floors, we are thinking about some kind of metal. So at the same time, the metal gives some kind of light and the traditional fiber cement panels. And it's a combination of those. We have a balconies, and we have fenestrations, we have storefronts. So we have modulation, and we have an overhang over the right-of-way that is allowed no more than 30%, 33%. So we have that. So that is breaking the modulation. And again, we try the building is keep it in the urban context. The building is keeping the same proportion. We are keeping the height of the units that is in a human scale. And the plaza, the width of the plaza and the depth of the plaza also, even though having all these constraints of the having a property that is too narrow, we found the possibility to provide all these kind of things, plaza, having a proportion of the heights, and again, enhancing the horizontal building. And in general, that is ending our presentation. And again, I just want to say thank you.
Thank you so much for presenting that to us. Appreciate your time. Let's start by questions from the board that we can dive into. Carlos, I'll start with you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. During your presentation, it was mentioned that for the depth of the retail commercial spaces, it was an average of 29%.
It goes, yeah, right. In 29, 30, yeah. We try to get as much as we can, but yeah, I would say 29.
Is that true for all three options?
Yes. Yeah, the only difference is the depth is not the big difference in between the option is that it is breaking. So we have the option C has more bigger and continue retail or commercial area, and the other ones are more small pieces. But the depth is it is the same because the depth is driven because of the parking. The width of the parking that is in the back is what is driving the depth of the commercial.
So for public parking, are you guys intending to meet the city requirements?
Yes, it's a 12-13 parking stall required for the 4,000 square feet.
And that's with the average of the 29-30%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, 30. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I was reading that for ground floor use, retail, residential, tavern, take banking, entertainment, cultural, and some others are allowed. So you are requesting that the lobby, the residential lobby, to be an exception from that? Is that correct? Because the residential lobby doesn't fall under this use for the street that is on Central Way, right?
Yeah, it's on the Central Way, and that is separate from the commercials.
Right, but residential lobby, is that allowed on Central Way? Or is that on the board to turn? Okay, it's allowed instead.
Yeah.
Tony's finding the actual code language.
Yeah, so there's a provision that allows for, so if you look at, actually it's in the staff report on page 2 of the staff report, talks about allows for lobbies, they'd be allowed subject to applicable design guidelines. So there is a provision to allow, what is it? Because there needs to be some way to access the
right.
residential from the ground floor. So that's something that would be reviewed as part of the design response conference, making sure that you feel that it meets the, you know, the minimum necessary to access that. So that's something that would be looked at as part of the design response.
So the municipal code states that minimum is for residential lobbies?
No, there's nothing. It just basically says, it says the applicable guideline states that lobbies for residential use may be allowed within the required retail storefront space, provided that the street frontage of the lobby is limited relative to the property's overall retail frontage, and that the storefront design of the lobby provides continuity to the retail character of the site and overall street. So there's, again, so there's kind of kicks you into that guideline to look at that as part of the side restrictions.
And for option C, this is a conceptual design conference. I'm seeing already canopies being shown for the other two options. I'm seeing the same amount of information. Is there a way to just remove the canopies and look just at the massing rather than just architectural, the very specific architectural features? I think at the, I mean, we typically see the preferred options to be more refined than the other two that the applicants present.
Mm-hmm.
But in some cases, it makes it a little bit deceiving because it's giving more information and it's not being paired with the other two options.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's all that I have for now.
Thank you, Carlos. Amanda?
I just had one question about option C. It says that the plaza provides a public amenity and prominent residential entry. It looks like it just provides maybe 5 feet more sidewalk, or what do you mean by public amenity in that context?
Well, the city is asking us to provide about the width of the sidewalk. It need to be 12 feet minimum, so we are giving from the property line 5 feet as our dedication for that. And so that is pushing the building back. And then what we are doing is giving plus minus, top of my head is like at 12 feet by, it's 400 square feet plaza. So that is what we are giving plus minus the plaza and connect. And the area again is connecting the sidewalk, because the sidewalk is already 12 feet. Plus another 12 feet for the plaza. We are talking on an average of 25 feet depth. And I think the width, I don't remember, I think it's 30 feet, the width of the plaza. So that is something that if you you are walking on the sidewalk, it's a wide sidewalk, and when you get to kind of the center of the building, it's wider. And obviously we are going to enhance with landscape. The sidewalk is already, it will be enhanced with landscape as well. So the idea is an integration of sidewalk, plaza, commercial, and residential. And just to kind of highlight Carlos' comment about the size of the lobby, we are giving the minimum comfortable, of course, for residents. So we are not really giving a big a lobby space, is just what they need, you know, a male area, male space. Even it's not a male room, it's just kind of everything in the same area, but it's just the minimum. So, you know, the residents have a not narrow, but obviously no big space. So it's kind of proportioned. That's what I was mentioning.
Got it. Okay. And then is there anything else you'd like to say about option C being the preferred design of all three of these?
Well, I think again, the what we like about this option is the plaza. Plaza kind of driving many things. Well, the parking is driving everything, but the plaza also, as you can see, the narrow property we are kind of squeezing. But even though we're narrow, we are trying to give as much to the community. You know, having a commercial area, having wide sidewalks, having parking. And in plaza, we are giving as much as we can in its own proportion.
Okay, that's all my questions.
Thank you, Amanda. Randall, do you have any questions?
How many residential units?
It will be 26. Average 26.
26. Mm-hmm. And so you're really at a point where you're shy at about two stalls parking per unit, or about 1.8, 1.7 per.
Yes, we require 43 parking stalls. We are providing 44.
The requirement is 43. Okay. And if we look into this, I mean, the aspect that if the 4,000 square feet of
commercial goes restaurant, you're actually at 125 square feet per restaurant has to have a parking stall, then you'd be basically exhausted. You're 30 stalls in that area. So is that what driving that number?
The number is not driving the parking. What we are driving the parking is the size of the property and as much as we can keep. Even again, as I mentioned, it's double parking, so you have spin or spine in the middle, so you can park.
I understand the double parking and mm-hmm. the depth of the site.
Yeah.
Isn't really material to what my question is. What I'm really looking at is you've got it set up to where you're doing a parking solution. And as I look at all three of these options, and I think what we're going to hear later in this is that when we get into this and we start playing with this particular site, and our responsibility here is to look at the setting and how it sites into the setting and how that works, you're right in the middle of an eclectic retail core. And if you take this particular building and replicate it on every corner or something like it, it starts to destroy and starts to tear that down. And so as I look at all three of these options, as you move up across from the baseball field, you got the new people on the north side. Those are new. That's yes, you do have retail on first floor. You've got coffee shops, this type of thing. The drugstore didn't last and that type of thing. But this particular facility sits right in the middle of the core.
Mm-hmm.
And that foot traffic, all you had to be doing, you had to be downtown on Friday of last week, Thursday, this 80-degree day, and it was just hopping. And this is a retail core. And we look at this and we say, okay, it's a mixed-use building. But I don't see a whole lot of mixed use there. You know, we got a little bit of stuff on first floor, and we're trying to solve for parking, and we don't want the depth of the building, you know, that the depth that the city requires for that retail on first floor, but we're taking it up with parking. And so my question, and this, we may not be able to solve this at this point, and that type of thing, but again, it's conceptual design. And as I look at it, the pedestrian, we're charged with looking at this community aspect of it and the pedestrians and this type of thing. This has to have retail. More so than, I think you did one of the projects up the street. Even more so than that, because this is the core, and this is a very eclectic core,
mm-hmm.
the nature and the fabric and that of it. And so as I look at the three concepts, they're block massing diagrams that show us what can be built here and that. But I'm having a hard time looking at this and saying, okay, how do we look at this in a more of an eclectic first floor approach? I think option three, being more on a horizontal aspect of it, is probably there. But the one thing that I'm not seeing is how would you differentiate that or make it more eclectic when you look at the downtown? Because if you take this and say, okay, the next developer does something, and yeah, they do something similar, and all you have to do is go to the north side of Central Way and see the four or five developments that have gone in there. Yeah, they're all generically about the same.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little difference. They modulate a little bit differently. But this project is right here in the middle of a core, and that's Kirkland.
Yeah.
Yeah. And really think about what Kirkland is. It's that bright, sunny day that, I mean, I've
taking their dogs for a ride, and they enjoyed it because the sidewalks were just full. And it was on a weekday. And that's what this is going to be right in the middle of.
And we totally agree with what you are saying.
I feel that we're looking at a parking solution that's driving parking, but not looking at a community solution.
Well, I think
so I guess my question to you is, how would you approach that, or how do these options even approach that?
Yeah, well, the options, but they are approaching to these because, like you mentioned, and we totally agree, this is an important site. The location is premium, is pretty much in the heart of the city, and we understand that, and that's what we try to give. We are playing, obviously, this is just amassing, and as you can see, that's probably we try to give a little bit more in the option C, because when you put just a box, it's hard to really represent what you are saying, how you we can make it more eclectic when we are showing just a box. But what we have in mind is we are using a combination, as you mentioned, the other buildings that are in the more assets to the park, there is more verticality, and they tend to use a lot of, pretty much nowadays we use kind of the same materials in all buildings, metal, fire cement. So that is the rule, I will say, there is no building. But in this one in particular, what we are trying is to give more the horizontality, and in fact, we are kind of the lines, these horizontal lines. We cannot see it here yet because, again, it's really boxy. But what we are trying is a little bit, if you see the corner with, of those units, we are trying to give this translucent because we're going to have some these long balconies. We have these metal bands that we try to point the building towards the lake. So it's kind of giving not verticality, more horizontal, more going through the direction of the downtown. So it's kind of, you know, represent materials and forms and proportions, because that's what, something that the zoning is helping out, is that we need to give 15 feet high in the base. So that is helping to give proportion, having a canopies, having more fenestration on the commercial. But again, I think the most important at this point is the upper side, which is kind of will drive what you are mentioning, is how we can enhance and give this building the importance that it is in this side.
Okay. I think that's it. I'm trying to get into your head as to what you're, because we're looking at massing diagrams, and you're saying, okay,
yeah,
here's three massing diagrams. You know, which one fits the best, or which are you moving forward? And then it's really our responsibility to say, okay, here's, you know, three or two or whichever one we may be discussing. But it's really getting into the sensitivity of the setting of this site. And you've done enough work in Kirkland, that's absolute. And I'm just looking at it and saying, okay, how do we maintain the character of this downtown? Because I think one of the questions I may bring forward is, as you take whatever massing model we have here, is you take what the zoning code is around it, and show us what 10 to 15 years, stick diagram wise, what that city would allow.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got to look at that and say, okay, what is it that we're trying to do? Because it's, So the project that just completed, just where they tore down the old Hector's and on the east side of Lake Washington Boulevard there, they did a pretty decent job of keeping retail and keeping that street frontage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wish we had a little wider sidewalk there, but that's what I'm asking or looking at here is to how do you do that? And it is a retail core, and we just for the mass of the building, the size of the building, just doesn't seem to proportionately have enough retail.
The other thing on this building, just talking about the commercial, is that the back is an alley, so which is not pedestrian friendly, and we have on the west, which is another alley, and it's a parking. So that's why we are giving most of the commercial frontage on the central way, which is the only face that basically we have. And in the corner, we are giving that little corner, obviously it's not showing here, but that corner, it will have a storefront that also is kind of continue the commercial and turning around as deep as possible, because then we have the parking entry. But we are kind of embracing and turning, giving as much as we can the retail space. In the back, obviously, that's why the parking pretty much is in the back, where there is basically nothing.
I think that's my question. Thank you very much for your
expertise. Oh, thank you. Thank you for the input.
Thank you, Randall. I do have a few questions that I would like to dive into. So first one, when it comes to your first preferred option, this construct that you have here on the northwest view, this little area right here, that is supposed to be, I'm assuming, for like trash or anything like that to go out for you know, garbage people to come in and out. Is that spot, that little garage that's right there?
The northeast?
On the northwest view of a design option for preferred C, mm-hmm. I'm looking at right here. This little garage, it looks like a little.
Yes.
Is that the entry for, you know, recycling, trash, anything to come in and out, and then the garbage is supposed to come in?
The loading and unloading is the entry. And the trash is in the back on the alley. So there.
Okay.
And in fact, currently there is all the trash collector in that alley.
Right.
So the truck doesn't use that door. The truck, it will be around the alley, and there is a trash room where they collect that is directly to the alley.
Great. I'm glad, because I was concerned about that, especially for traffic from the other vehicles.
That is basically okay. Cars that day. There is no trucks or anything that is getting in there.
Okay, great. I'll start by going into the parking. So by looking at this option, I'm seeing if I look at the northeast view, go back to the other.
Okay.
One that we were just at. There we go. The northeast view here, I'm taking a look at the construct. That's where the parking goes down.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, by looking at that, and I also was looking at option A, it seemed that there was a wider construct when it came to the entry of the parking.
The parking, the option B and C, they have wider, and, well, that's not true. The option A, the width of the parking driveway is the same in the three options. The only difference is the A, because the residential entry is on the west side, it looks narrow, because the entry, residential entry, is not side by side. In the option B, maybe looks a little bit wider because we have the residential entry. But in the option C, it looks wider because the plaza is right next to it. But the width of the entry is the same. Is 25 feet. And also it's a little bit wider because we are providing the triangle side, so the cars, when they are getting out, they have enough view for the pedestrians.
Okay. It's just moved over, it's not more centralized, correct? Mm-hmm. And I was looking at option A. So going into, now shifting over to the retail spot, how many units would you have available?
Residential units?
Not residential, I'm asking for retail commercial use.
It's 4,000 square feet.
But okay, and so that's just for I'm asking about how many retail spots are available if someone was to put their business in there.
How many what?
Option A is three.
Yeah.
So my question is, you know, believe it or not, I'm more enticed over option A than I am when it comes to option C. Because again, how Randall was also stating that that's a primary spot too, especially when it comes to, you know, a lot of people coming in and out, retail, et cetera, from there. The more opportunity for businesses to go in there, I would always definitely entice. So if option A is allowing three and the other one is option two, I'm going to be enticed to go in the other direction. The other part of it too, again, going back to the entry of the garage. And again, this is just the first modulation, but from what I'm seeing with option C, it gives off the facade that it's narrow. Versus option A, it gives more of a wide entry and is very specific to where you need to go. And I think about that because if you look at some of the other constructs, especially on Central Way, like where that T-Mobile was, there's that little garage that goes in there. And that thing drives me crazy because it's so narrow. And even if there was a way to make it, even if it was the same size, but a way to make it a little more, get off the facade that's a little bit wider, it makes people feel more easier coming in. I don't know if we're too early into the construct of your modulations right now, but the other thing I was looking at was, is there anything? So first, when it comes to materials, you guys were the ones, again, you guys created the residential place that's got the PCC or the Whole Foods. When it comes to material, are you planning to use the same sort of material construct like that?
We are making a study of that. We don't have final decision. We're still developing on that. But I will say that we go in that direction, but it's not fine.
And you guys are right across from the main center right there where there's a lot of retail space. It's got that very village feel to
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys taken consideration on how this is going to be able to pertain to that and sort of adapt?
Yes, the idea is to keep the same context, the current context, so we are studying that. So we keep that in mind. So the idea of this building is not breaking be a shining star in the middle of the night. So the idea is to merge and with the urban context.
Got it. One thing I wanted to, a couple more things I wanted to dive into. So you were talking about the residential entry, the main lobby area. And you said it was more going to be a little bit more restricted just to being its own area for getting mail in and out, et cetera, from there, a little bit more narrow. Is that concept design, so I can see that clearly in concept three, but is the concept design in option A, is that entry where the window is supposed to be right here? Would that be the entry?
Yes. Obviously the mail room or mail space is not facing to the street, is kind of hidden. But the lobby is what we really want to see from the street. Okay. And the size of the three options are, in average, are the same.
Right. So that kind of answers my question. So is the option A one a little bit bigger of a lobby? Or
let me check the size. No, it is pretty much the same size.
It's the same size.
Yeah. I will say the option C is more uniform than the option A.
Because that one's a little more pushed back,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. As far as we're going to have to dive into that part a little bit deeper later on. But I do have one last question as far as the rooftop.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, we're in the early stages right now. Are you guys planning to offer any sort of residential community up there, or
it will be a community room on that is no more than the code allows, which is a 500
like a court area almost.
The what?
Would you do like a court area?
Mm-hmm.
It's something that they can go outside.
That's correct. Yes.
So I could see how that is possible with option A. How would that be possible with option C?
Well, the option C is, let me move forward. So in the option C, what we are going to do is that we have the community room right next to the, I would say it's in the center of the building, and it's looking towards the, and in fact, the proposal is kind of a diagonal. This is a design in process, but is the view is driving the form of the community room and the roof deck and amenities, I will say so. So, and the stairwell that is in the south, it doesn't have a penthouse. So that is not blocking the view. And also the other thing that we try to keep in mind is that keep as much as possible the views to the lake. So
I
understand what you are saying, because the lobby and the entry to the residential in the west has the benefits as exactly as you mentioned. But I think the big pro that I can see in the option A is that, as I mentioned, Mr. Randall, is that we want to give the commercial that corner. We having the residential in that corner, we think that we are taking, because the commercial in that corner where we have the parking and we have this big corner, I think it's important to give the commercial, and the residential is more private. So that's why we are kind of pushing away from the corner. I think the corner always is a premium view, and that is for residential. And above is also, as I mentioned, we are going to enhance the residential units with balconies, translucent glasses, fenestration, et cetera, et cetera. That's why we kind of go with the options.
Okay.
But of course, option A has its own benefit.
You know, of course, the big thing is, as well, my colleagues have said, is that we want to make sure that you're having something that's going to be a representation of our community of Kirkland. And my biggest is, especially because of the uniqueness of this location, and also especially the traffic that comes out there throughout the year. I mean, this is the busiest time of the year, so you can see what's going on. That's going to be unique. That's going to show us able to its community, and something that brings community together. So I want you guys obviously to take that, you know, to heart as far as when you're creating this construct, you know, why this is the option that you want to go with and how it represents those main factors. But those are the questions I have. I'm going to give it back to Randall for a couple more questions.
I've got one quick question, and this may actually be more for Tony, possibly. Code-wise, what on several other buildings in downtown Florida we've worked with, we've always had a plaza requirement, square foot of building, square foot of plaza. How does that relate to this site?
So for this site, so there's two ways that a public plaza would be required. The first would be if they have any of the upper story setback reductions. So there's a provision that they need to provide a public plaza. The other would be one of the conditions of the common area. The common area has kind of a list of things that if you do a common room, rooftop common room, you have to provide certain things. One of them is a plaza. Now, whether or not they choose that or not, because there's other things you can provide, landscaping, things like that. So those are kind of the two ways a plaza is required in this particular zone. It's a little different than other zones where there's a specific requirement for it.
I just think there's opportunities that we aren't taking here. Possibly push the project, but we'll discuss that here. So, no, that's, thank you very much.
I have an additional question.
Of course. So just looking at these three messing options, we're just seeing three facades, but I'm just wondering what's happening on the back of the building to the alley. Seems that the building is pretty much to the limit of the property line, right? So how are you going to address the horizontal and vertical modulation?
There is a balconies. In the back, so the units we don't have views on the back for this presentation, but there is breaking the massing with indents of the, those are balconies. We have balconies in the three stories, but they are kind of scattered, so that is the giving the modulation on the back. The other thing is that the first floor is setting back 2 feet because of the dedication for the alley, and then upper that we kind of moving back the building. So there is still movement and breaking that modulation on the back. So it's a little bit more difficult, obviously, because as you mentioned, we are right to the property line. Also, we are facing to the alley, but there is some modulation in the back.
And are the balconies going to be extending beyond the property?
No, they are recessed. So that is the interesting piece, is that you can see a flat surface, but you can see holes, and they are not, they are kind of, it's like a checkboard.
For vertical modulation, how is that at the back?
Well, remember, we are going more on horizontal, but the vertical modulation goes on the balconies. That they stack some of them, and the third floor they are off. So that is not, we are playing with the vertical and horizontal. Basically, the horizontal is driven by those metal bands.
And do you have all that for these three options that we can review?
Yes. The back is pretty much the same because the units applies to the three options. Basically, the big difference on the three options is the entry of the lobbies and the location of the stairwells.
Right. Yeah. Just for the purpose of this meeting is to analyze the and review the massing for the entire building, not just the front. So I'm just wondering if you have extra material that is showing
No, I don't.
Okay. And
just but we will include it, as you mentioned, in the back.
Yeah.
No.
May I address the board?
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, my name is Meredith Everest with Bayless Architects. And in the packet that we submitted, there are the value.
Can we get that pulled up?
Do you have that as part of your presentation? So they all need to look at that?
Yeah, we don't have it in the presentation, but I believe it's page 11 or so of the packet. About approximately midway of the packet.
Okay. I'll check that. And one additional question. Just looking at the configuration of all these three options, it seems that the lobby, residential lobby, is bringing up the continuity of the commercial / retail assigned areas. I'm just wondering if the idea of pushing the residential lobby, has that been identified to be moved to the east portion of the building? So it gets just assigned to basically limited with the driveway that you're creating for parking lot, and then having a longer or a more continuous commercial building front. Because right now you are segmenting the commercial areas by just having first commercial, then the lane for the cars to go in and out of parking, then lobby, then commercial, and all these three options kind of like break the continuity of that commercial area just due to the layout that you guys have proposed. But is there a way to just a small portion of the building that is all the way to the...
We did that study, and in fact, we have all the commercial in one piece, parking and the entry at the corner. But that is, I would say, is pushing something that Tyler mentioned, is that we try to keep the connection or vertical connection of the residential is more in the center. This, of all the projects, is a give or take, so we cannot have everything in all the projects. So if we put it, we gain probably retail, but we are losing a lot of other things. For example, if we put in the corner, I think we are losing the sense of the plaza and the verticality pushing in right in the corner instead of putting it in the middle. I think it has more value and it gives more character to the building if it's in the middle and in the corner. So we are going more in that and kind of also going what Randall mentioned, we try to give a character to the building. Pushing that residential entry in the corner, I think, is kind of losing that power.
Well,
it may work, but it's not exactly what we are looking for in terms of the presence of this building.
Because you can always move the plaza, the small plaza that you are having there to the commercial area for benefit of the...
Well, the thing is we try to get a communication between the three pedestrian, commercial and residential. So we don't want to leave one of them out. So yeah, we can have a plaza for the commercial, but then what happened with the residential is leaving alone. It's like not giving the importance that we have.
But the main purpose of this street is for retail, restaurant, tavern, basically.
Yes, where we need to give character to the building, and that is part of it.
Okay. That's all.
Do you have any additional questions on the board?
No.
Amanda, do you have one?
Well, I just wanted to say that the part on where the parking garage is here, that's in this other view, it's non-residential, so it'd be retail. That just isn't apparent from this rendering, I guess. Like if there'd be a storefront there or what, the corner of the building with the parking lot, that's the non-residential.
Mm-hmm.
The
corner that was in question.
Ready to survive.
Yeah, the idea in that corner is having
design
store.
Option number three. Yeah, so the top left corner where it says non-residential, that to your point, talking about character and eclectic retail storefronts, it's just not apparent from that rendering what that would be. It just looks like a block. If there would be a storefront there or what on that side.
Yes, it will be.
Okay, great. It would be good to have that detail just to consider those factors. Thank you.
Randall, do you have any additional questions?
Yeah.
Just to Amanda's point there, can we go back to that slide? So I'm looking at this, so non-residential vehicle access and then residential vehicle access. And so that's all connecting to the same, correct?
No, the residential goes to the underground part.
So then the non-residential's to the side. Well, first, Amanda, thanks for calling that out. I just feel that would be very confusing. If you're attracting retail in a spot, I would naturally assume if I were to park by something that was retail, it would be the parking lot that is right next to it, versus having a non-residential. They have to go around the back, which is going to cause confusion and also going to drive away business. So if there's a way to I'll give it to you. What do you think? putting the residential to the front versus the to the back and the non-residential to the back versus the front?
Well, as I mentioned, the idea is that the commercial is connected to the parking that is on the west side. The entry is using that alley, and we are separating the residential having an entry from the central way.
Actually, to clarify, I do agree with this plan. I think that makes sense. because my question was more around the non-residential space being used for retail. It just wasn't apparent from the drawing rendering. But this is the west side where the current parking, public parking is. So that public parking, I think it would make sense to be next to the non-residential area, which is the retail area, and then the front from Central Way. I think it would be less than transitioned from the current situation, if that makes sense. We can talk offline if you want.
Yeah, because I'm just having a hard time seeing that concept. Because of multiple factors, but we'll discuss that after we hear. So thank you again for answering those questions and taking your time.
Thank you to you for the input. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I would like to give this time to the audience. First, and apologies again for the mix-up earlier, but I would like to have members of the audience make your comments. And we'll start with whoever came from the beginning. You'd also state your name.
Yes, my name is Gail Brilling. And one of the things I always tell my friends about downtown Kirkland is it's a big city disguised as a village. And when you're around here, you have no idea that there's like 100,000 people almost. And this just doesn't, I don't know how to get this building into the village. And then, but it is a beautiful building. And then one other thing, I hope there are no more black windows like Bart Hills and the restaurants have, which are just, they're just so hostile. You can't see what's inside. And that's the whole thing about retail. You should be able to see inside. That's it.
Thank you so much.
Hello, my name is Luke Travis, and I just want to start by saying I think it's fantastic that this property is getting redeveloped. It's a smack in the middle of downtown Kirkland, and it feels really weird. I'm there every day in downtown Kirkland, and having a one-story development surrounded by a parking moat really feels out of character with a downtown setting, especially since I live up in Juanita, and we have a six-story condo building. And I work in downtown Kirkland, and that's an eight-story building. And so it feels weird having one story building, but also kind of weird that you're only aiming at four stories. Like, there's taller buildings in Juanita, like multiple taller buildings. My mother-in-law lives in a taller building. She's on the fifth floor. That's Juanita. This is downtown Kirkland. So that's just kind of weird. And also the other thing that struck me, and I think this is something Randall was kind of speaking towards, is that there's been a lot of talk about parking, and like I get why that's important, but also like in a general sense, we're doing a fairly good job housing cars in Kirkland. I don't know if you guys have read the parking study that the city of Kirkland put out about a month ago, I think it was, but the vacancy rate on lots is actually consistently below 80%, and generally that's where you want it to be, so we're doing a great job there. And actually, it's called out that Central Way is a standout as far as being lower utilage than other places, like the parking lot right next to this development or the library or ever on street parking options. So I don't think that that's nearly as big a concern as a lot of people suppose it is. And especially in the context that our area right now, if you, I don't know, if you've lived here for, you know, 20, 30 years, you may not have noticed or been as sensitive to this, but that cost of housing has been going up dramatically. And that makes it really hard for people who would like to live here for 20 or 30 years, and it's becoming less and less accessible. And so I think this is a great opportunity to try to rectify that. We need more dense development so that people can actually afford to live here. And it would be lovely to see a bit more housing, which is great that there's, you know, three stories of housing, but a little less parking lot. Two stories of parking versus three stories of housing. It's like we're doing a lot better job of housing cars than we are housing people. So I realize that that's not necessarily in your purview, but please keep that in mind and really appreciate the work you're doing here.
Thank you so much.
My name is Lisa Berenson, and as I said, my specialty was multifamily housing for probably 9 years. I'm 18 years of experience. I've been in Kirkland's for a long time, and I don't like a lot of what I see. The new units that were built where Hector's used to be, very disappointed in the exterior materials. The other thing is this site is so constraining. The other thing is that with the height, you've got that train store right there. You've got the other retail that's behind there. And the fact that it's only 25 units. And you're talking about a penthouse. And you're talking about only two retail spaces. In my mind, this site is not an appropriate place to put this building, period. I do compliment the building that they did put over PCC, and I think those materials need to be integrated into whatever is eventually built onto this site. I am so sick of seeing boxes with the same concrete paneling. Bring back the brick, bring back the character. You know, it's like Hector's was an icon in downtown Kirkland. And those materials that building was made out of should have been established and retained in the adjacent multifamily buildings. And instead, everything is just looking flat. Everything's like, obviously modulation. But as far as materials and the character of downtown Kirkland, it is being destroyed. And the alleyway that is behind there, no matter what you do, you are constrained by that alley. And I'm concerned that the retail that's going in is not for your everyday Kirklandites who need places. What happened to the Bartels that was recently designed, built, in that new development? It lasted months. There's no, I mean, where's the supermarket? I mean, you have the supermarket, it's walkable, but you have the little Metro Kirkland bus station right by the library. It's not adequate to get people out of their cars. As far as retail goes, it should be on the corner. It should be a glass, exciting corner. Both sides of the building, glass, transparency. Where's the tree canopy? Yeah, you can have a sidewalk that is so big, but you've got to lure people in. Other multifamily projects I have designed in downtown Seattle, they have the retail entrance and the commercial entrance as one big space. And it's all about how you design the inside of the building using fobs and other things to make sure that the residential people who are living there have their safety to go up to their units and all the commercial space in one big open space.
I didn't even interrupt you, but
sorry, I know I'm past the limit. I'm just saying this site is so critical. I'm really upset when I saw this come across the design review.
Definitely appreciate it. Thank you for your comments. Is there any? Is it fresh? Thank you.
Hi, good evening. My name is B. Nayon. And I first want to say thank you to the design review board, thank you to the staff, and thank you to the applicant. I have lived across the street from this property for almost 30 years. I've seen a lot happen in downtown Kirkland, and I have to tell you, I'm really excited about this prospect. I am here tonight to speak in support of the development. It was interesting listening to the DRB's questions about the three different massing options. You all raised really good points. I still lean with the applicant's preference to option C, not only aesthetically, but because as I look at the floor plans and floor plates for the retail, there's one very small space, but the other space I think gives them more opportunities for a little larger floor plate. They point out there's more contiguous space and it gives them more opportunities for different demising depending on what tenants come along. I'm enthused about it and I look forward to hearing your discussion. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any other members from the audience, please? Is that everyone? All right, well, thank you again for everyone that did approach to give your comments and your statements. We do take that to value and to heart. I think that we can all relate in some way, being members or being from this area and seeing the different growth throughout the city and the evolution of it. I believe that at this time, it's for the board to think of what you guys have said and also what the applicant has presented and discuss next steps and vote on next actions. So discussion, any questions?
Discussion.
Do we have anything to look for discussion?
Good. Yeah, I can start with the discussion. I've been just going back and forth between the three options that the applicant has presented, and I believe that we still need additional information from the applicant regarding massing for the entire building. We've seen the treatment for Central Way and portions of the sites, but we haven't seen it completely, the complete building. The option three, it shows architectural features such as canopies, which I think that are competing a lot with the other two options that do not have any additional architectural features. And just for the massing, if you remove the canopies, then it looks like a horizontal block on the upper sides. There's some language in the design guidelines regarding trying to avoid wedding cake approaches. And I believe that for some other projects that we have reviewed, there's always been vertical and horizontal modulation. This is a very interesting property. It's basically adjacent to a parking lot that is not gonna be developed. So it's gonna get a lot of traction and a lot of pedestrian interaction. And I believe that just we're missing out on the rest of the building that is not really fully integrated. From the lobby versus the commercial retail, I believe that the one member of the audience brought a good point about integrating lobbies with commercial spaces. I think that's a good opportunity for the applicant to maybe restructure that and have a more consistent commercial core at the ground level rather than breaking the spaces into three segments. I'm pretty sure that the retail space that is far east is not going to be used just because it's so secluded, it's separated by the driveway, that it's just going to make it tough for whoever moves in there to be active. Currently, there's the other property, which is a train store. I don't know how effective it's going to be to attract pedestrians to walk all the way down to that portion of the building just to, I don't know, go in there and then just exit. So I believe that there's more to do over there. I think that restarting the layout for the ground floor with the commercial is critical. Just regarding the, I think that the applicant is requesting a minor, a request for my proposed reduction. I don't believe that we, or at least that I am ready to grant that. If the basically the ground level commercial core is not fully integrated and works in a way that represents what the Central Way Street is and the importance of it. Also, there are some language regarding just strong street planting. Over the time, Kirkland has been redeveloping these properties and has been upgrading or changing the vegetation and all the landscaping. I'm just curious to see if the applicant has taken that into consideration for their massing options, if these plazas are not just to check the boxes, but also to provide interest and provide value to the community. And just with the material treatment, I believe that we are very early at this stage. This is a conceptual design conference, which it requires the board to review massing and how the building interacts with the adjacent properties. So I really don't want to speak on that, but I do believe that the building is not there yet in terms of what they are proposing. If you review the other options do not have a lot of thought to my consideration. And I believe that in order for the board to make a determination on what they are really proposing, the applicant should present to the board and to members of the audience package that really reflects that consideration and thoughtfulness into design for all three.
Thank you, Carlos. I mean, there's other points that I agree with as well. Amanda?
I don't think I have any extra to add to that, but covered a lot of what I was going to say too.
Thank you. Randall?
Thank you to the audience and the participants and citizens. Very good feedback. Really appreciate that. And also, I really do appreciate the applicant and the architectural firm Bayless. If you look at the work that you've done in Kirkland, it is very good work. And that leaves me with the confidence that as we sit here and talk about this, that something can be worked on here to be put together, because I look at the building and again it's the first, you're number one, and so we're shooting at you from every side because you're wide open, and that's, but every side on here, even the train store has probably got another 10-15 years it's going to happen. For those of you who have been here, I've been here for about 42 years, and you watch this happen. And so as I look at this, as far as the three options, I really look at the massing of option three, where you got to start to go horizontal, because we have a lot of vertical three and four story buildings. And to me, a three or four story building isn't vertical. That's really a horizontal. And it's when you get to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, that's when you're going to vertical. And I know that there's something in the codes that starts to talk about wedding cake step backs. There's a time and place for it. And I see this project as, is there a way to get a functional plaza? I keep going back to last week to, you know, schools have, school kids are down at the beach, they're in the parks. I mean, it was a weekday, busier than a weekend, and which is fantastic for downtown. And so how does this particular project fit into that? The PCC building that you did with the plaza and thing going in there, beautifully done. I mean, it really works. I mean, my wife and I, we shop at PCC. We're in there every day, probably. But I look at this and I'm looking at it saying, well, really, what if you took, you know, an option C where you've got the vertical element that's the entrance, and you just flip that over west and start developing that west corner into some sort of plaza, look towards the benefits of doing a plaza, look to the code, look to what you can have, because we're really in a position that when you put a massing study together that meets the code, except you're saying, well, we're going to have an awning that sticks out 5 foot. Okay, but the awning is actually up on, and it sticks out over your own setback. Not the property line setback, but it sets back across the building. And so it's, you know, I don't think you're pushing the limits. I think there's limits that you can push a little bit harder and really push this project to where there's a lot more relationship with the street. So I just don't feel that this building has that relationship with the pedestrian and the street life and what is happening there, because it's going to be an avenue as things develop, because when you move on up the block and you go up to the strip mall, prime property may develop the next development cycle. And those types of things are going away. And for those here, you know, citizens in Kirkland, we're looking at it going like, you know, bringing our kids downtown Kirkland. I mean, I don't even know what the curvy street name is, because we always called it the curvy streets. And that's the character of downtown Kirkland, is that curvy street, the eclectic aspect of it. And if there's a way to build that first floor into an eclectic manner somehow. And I turn to the professionals let them deal with it. But I think that I think option three gives us a better feel for being able to do something like that and to push it. But I would challenge applicant to push the envelope a little bit. And because we've got several things here, the depth of the retail, we've got, you know, step back on the awning, we got this residential lobby. I look at it and I'm going like, why should we give you 25 feet? You need 30. We need something that's a superior design. We need something that allows us to say, hey, this breaks the mold, this breaks out and does something. And I think it began because I, you know, as I look and I know the number of projects that you've done and they stand out. And so and the only reason I'm really saying this is because you've got a good team that's working on it. And I just don't, again, it's a conceptual idea, and you're going to be pushing the envelope and you're going to be moving around and that type of thing. And we'll be looking at what their finishes are and this type of thing. And I'm, you know, it's like one of the comments in the public was that they, you know, that the building the PCC is in has a wonderful use of materials. It's a little bit different than the neighborhood. That's a little bit different than the other things that are happening. And so that's why I feel confident that something will happen in that direction. And so I, as far as the board, I like C, because I think it just, the horizontality actually starts to bring it down to where it's more pedestrian oriented. We keep trying to go up and have vertical breaks and articulation. And I'm already getting tired of it. I mean, all you have to do is go downtown Redmond and that. So I, as far as the board, I would look to have them develop option C, push that first floor to, you know, getting a way that the public interacts with it, touches it, feels it, that type of thing. Because this is a transfer point going in and out of downtown. You know, you drive past it, and you know, when we close the main intersection there, right in the middle of everything, it's amazing how that has changed traffic flow. Even though it's back in play and you can go through the intersection, and that traffic flow through downtown Kirkland is totally different. It's not kind of, it just doesn't seem to be coming back the same way. And yet this street is important. People come up and around the corner, so it's very good. So it's again, it's even more volume of traffic coming through it. Sure.
I just wanted to add, I do think that if you're going to do a plaza, I do like option C, but I think if you're going to do a plaza, it does make most sense to do it on the west side of the building, northwest, southwest, somewhere on the west, because that is that main, facing that main intersection where we do have the cow and coyote statue. And you think about, like you said, closing down the intersection and 4th of July parades or whatever, I just feel like that is kind of like the heart of Kirkland. And it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to have a plaza on Central Way in the middle of the building, but it makes more sense to have it on the west side of the building.
It connects into the restaurant trade. And at that point of which then justifies your parking. And so when we look at it and say, okay, this is what happens, then there's a justification to look at that and say, yeah, we only got to go 25 feet deep because you got to have the parking. But you need to, I just look at it, and should be speaking to the board. We need to have, you know, something that, I hate the superior design, whatever that means, but something that comes back that really sets this building onto the site. And you know, on the request, we have, you know, I have no problem with any of these, except that in negotiations, I'd like to get something in return. I think you understand that. And that type of thing. So that's, I would support option C, the development of option C, to move forward on that, and then to really look at that first floor and how do you tie that into this community.
Thank you, Randall and Amanda. So just for clarification, we're looking, when you're looking at option C, you're saying taking out this entrance, moving it and turning that more into a plaza.
Just take it. Okay. Take it one more bay to the west. Mm-hmm. And so you're trying to, something because you're trying to keep central. Your elevator core in the center of the building, or somewhat in the center of the building. And so it just, it kind of pushes that residential entry so it comes out right at that plaza. And the plaza is not going to be very big. It's not a lot of room. And so I'm just, and I forget what I'm saying about that. That's up to you guys to do. I can do it just like anybody else can, but I think you've developed number three or C a little bit further than the others, but I think it gives something a little bit different to downtown, which then to me feels like it drops into that eclectic mix. It's a little bit different. And that's what I think we see with downtown. It's just, where Hector's was, I would love to see Hector's stay, that building stay in something of that order. But I think it's ready to fall down, so it couldn't do that. But it's again, it's, if we come in and we do a 400 long foot development all the same, we aren't going to like it. We need to keep something that works with the pedestrian along the street, works with it. And I keep going back to last week. It was phenomenal. Why were all these people in Kirkland? exactly this. It's a place, it's where we should be. And so I just don't want to be turned into a commercial strip mall or strip, something like that, right? Okay, again, I just have to compliment the projects you've done in the past, and my confidence is placed in that we'll make it work. But for tonight's purposes, you know, as far as, you know, just a conceptual design review, that those are my comments.
Thank you, Randall. Carlos, I'm curious to if you have any comments on that or questions.
Yep. I don't like option C. I would like to see all three options with the massing from all sides. I think at this point, we are just being guided for the comprehensive explanation of option C, but the other two options were just touched very briefly and do not present a very attractive way of just letting us pick between all three. I feel that we're just being forced to option three, and the purpose of presenting three options is to have different information that we can review. So I guess that we already stated the points, which is connection from pedestrian to the building, commercial ground design, and basically the integration of this building to what Central Way is and the heart of Kirkland is.
Thank you, Carlos. Do we have any more comments from the board? Taking in from what everyone has said, everybody made some great points. Randall, Amanda, Carlos, I have to say that although I know that we want to start pushing, we've always wanted to move ahead, I have to agree also with Carlos as well. I feel that we are being attracted to visually as far as the concept to option C. It does give some attraction, but in order for myself to feel confident moving forward and comfortable in this, I'd like to see more details as far as the other options as well. And we've had other applicants and times that come in that have given us a little bit more in-depth detail to the modulation and structure that they have, just for us to make sure that we're making sure that we're making a confident decision moving forward. And sometimes in those, when we push them back, it can surprise even the applicant. You know, you might start realizing that maybe option B or maybe option A is a better thing to work off of based off of the comments and comments of the community as well, the comments of the board and the community as well. I would also encourage the applicant as well to take in the aspect of trying to create an area that's going to be inviting for the community instead of closing itself off primarily to just residential or retail, making it a place of community that allows options for people to come to sit and have coffee or be able to enjoy the parades that come by in Kirkland. So I would like to see those concepts. And also another point that was touched was vegetation. I'm a huge advocate of trying to bring in more nature, more vegetation into the facility and the community around them, because right now it is just an empty parking lot. And really you have a blank canvas that you're going to be designing. And here's the other thing that you need to think about is too, is that what you're designing is going to be a new staple of Kirkland. It's going to be a part of the historic growth of the community. So the reason why we are so in depth in detail is important that not only are we making sure that it's meeting the guidelines, but we're representing the city, the community, and representing all of you. So I would like to see examples of that through the next presentation. Other than that, how does the board feel moving forward with those expectations from the applicant?
So So you're asking the applicant to continue the conceptual design.
Continue the conceptual design.
Come back for a second conceptual design.
Correct.
I agree with that. I think that we should just continue with this based on the feedback that we provided and also that the members of the audience provided. I guess that we would like to just see this. And one way of tackling this, maybe it would be more useful to bring your 3D model, show it to us. Maybe we can see the entire building rather than just some specific photos that you have taken. I think that would add a lot of value. And I guess as part of this, just to get an understanding of why you are taking different design approaches with massing, with the selection of the lobby versus the commercial, just functionality, and what are the added benefits to the community by doing such the or taking such decisions.
Thank you, Carlos. Amanda, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd like to see more detail as well. I think that's a good idea, especially the retail part and the plaza.
Thank you. Kendall?
I guess conceptually, I'm looking at the option C because I haven't been designing developing option C, but that, you know, that's just where I sit.
Again, again, it's just because that this is going to be a staple part of the community. This is in a location that is very attractive. There was a lot of history that's there, and we want to do right by the community. We want to do right by by our city, and this is something that's going to be around for a long time. It's the new development and evolution of our city and of Kirkland. So again, like I said, I stand by. I would like to see more details when it comes to the different modulations. I see what you're saying. It is there's a lot of great aspects of option C. There very much is, but I think that it's just because of the importance of this. I think that it's important for us to see other specifications with the modulations that they've had.
Well, how many options are you planning to come back with?
We just want them to expand on the options that they have.
Yeah, I think that presenting three options, it's a good number. I think that the applicant has already put some work into that, and we take that into account. And maybe with all the feedback that we have provided tonight, I'm hopeful that you can incorporate that into the three different options and present something that we can basically review and make additional comments on. My expectation is to see the other two options be more interesting in terms of variety and also to have some integration of the points that we have presented tonight.
Thank you, Franz. And like I said, I agree with that. We're not asking you to reconstruct the concepts that you have. We're asking you to build upon based off of the feedback that has been given throughout the night. So that said, do we have everything that we need from the staff?
Yeah, so kind of the summary that I have is that you want the applicant to bring back three designs. Specifically, you want to be able to see all sides of each of the designs, whether that's via them bringing the 3D models in or you know, just providing additional viewpoints of each of those facades. Also, I heard that I think Carlos kind of started out by, on option C, you see the awnings and the more development of that. You want to kind of see that on the additional, on the other options as well.
I think at this point where we're reviewing massing and scale. Mm-hmm. So it would be beneficial just to have the pure massing and scale. I know that it's not attractive, but I think that they can state a case for all these three options and present the vantage points that each option has with the design that they come up with.
Right. And then I heard that you'd like them to explore the option of feel that maybe with option C, the location of the plaza, trying to see if there's an opportunity to shift that further to the west, design towards the...
If there is something of a plaza, whatever that may be, something that's in a usable format that you use to interact with the pedestrian traffic and that type of thing.
And we want to see that with all the options.
Okay. I think a label it as a plaza, it's very specific. Maybe it's some space for integration where I think that residents and pedestrians can use at the same time. So I'll leave it up to the applicant to decide if that is an open space and zero outdoors, indoors. But we would like to just see what is presented in terms of that can bring added value to the design.
Okay. Let's see if I have anything else that, obviously we want them to, obviously this is a little bit more when we get to the design response conference, but obviously really focusing on the design of the ground floor, providing that unique experience. I think there's enough in the design guide. If you look at the design guidelines, there's enough guidance in there for the applicant to look at for that, for those spaces to design them the way we feel would be appropriate. Anything else on that?
I think that's basically it. We talked about vegetation, but we don't need to look at that right now. No.
And then I'll say Tyler brought up some opportunities for landscaping. Obviously, that's a big thing. If we could see, I don't think obviously they don't want to see the details of landscaping, but where would you be putting landscaping at? That kind of
thing. Yes, exactly. We don't need to know like what the vegetation actually is. We just know what they are planning to zone it.
Yeah, integration
of it.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No.
All right. So that being said, we have everything that we need.
I would just open it up to the applicant. Yep. Yep. Sorry.
Yes, of course. No, there's a lot of talk about plaza. Maybe if I'm wrong, but the code, when we create the plaza, it requires that to be open air straight to the top, all the way through the building. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. I like the idea of moving the plaza to the west. I understand that it does create a vertical component in the building. Just be aware of that when we go through that process. Wonderful. So. Is there any additional questions?
Okay, use the definition of plaza and has to go all the way up. I don't know if that's what we're totally asking for. It's really a matter of there's got interactive space.
Well, the zoning code, if there is a trade-off, if there's a protrusion into the setback and you're providing that plaza, it talks about if it's a long central way, that needs to be stores, yeah.
That's where we're saying kind of push the envelope, look at that.
Just make sure you're aware of that.
Yeah. Obviously there could be opportunities looking at maybe other smaller plazas for the commercial, but then you don't have to meet that requirement. You could do just a one-story entry plaza or something like that. It would just be for the trade-off.
Do we have any additional questions or comments from the applicants? John, is there anything else that we need to touch base on?
No, I think that's it. As long as everyone's on the same page, we don't really need to make a motion since it's concept design. Conclude this portion of the meeting.
All right, thank you guys again for your time. I think that we have everything that we need. A motion for us to obviously continue us when it comes to this, but also a motion to end the meeting for tonight. Anything else that we need?
Let's see. The next meeting would be for July. 2 weeks, so July 15th. Currently, we do not have anything on the agenda, and I don't think we're anything anticipated for that evening. So really, I think probably the next meetings, there are a couple of CDCs that we've had recently, the NASH project, this project. So we'll just coordinate with the applicants for that to determine the next meeting dates, and we'll reach out to the board, make sure we have a quorum for those meetings.
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I second the motion. Meeting adjourned.